buff.
They created a artificial skin that's going to help burn victims.
Actually, people with robotic limbs. A team of researchers from the University of Houston have created a new type of skin that allows robotic limbs to feel hot and cold. Hmm. While still in development, it could potentially give those with prosthetic limbs the ability to feel again, as well as lead to more advanced medical equipment, like in, surgery gloves. Cool. Surgical gloves and things like that.
We like that.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Not too shabs, right?
Jake LaMotta.
He passed.
He did.
He was who the movie Raging Bull was based upon. He died at 95 today, and Denise Baker, his fiance, said that he died in Miami after complications of pneumonia, which is basically like your typical old person death.
Yep.
I'm sure everybody remembers De Niro. Yes. That.
That's one of my favorite pictures, is the two of them sitting together. Amazing. And De Niro just being like, I'm sitting next to this
guy. But
if you're
older.
And I got to be him.
If you're our generation, you remember De Niro. If you're older, you remember Jake LaMotta. And he was like the boxer. You know, until Muhammad Ali came along, he was the boxer. And he was the boxer that everybody loved. Death and time did what Sugar Ray Robinson could not do. And knocked Jake LaMotta down.
Yeah, he was the first to defeat Sugar Ray Robinson, if memory serves.
Suicide prevention fence
has been added to the George Washington Bridge in New York City, apparently because
and
a lot of...
you said you didn't pay attention.
Apparently because a lot of people are jumping off of it. And here's my question. How are you even getting onto the George Washington Bridge?
Yeah, so this amounts to a big step to save lives. As you said, on the George Washington Bridge, Port Authority of New York and New Jersey have installed a temporary fence that will stop people from jumping to their deaths. This was reported on Monday. The bicycle and pedestrian walkway on the south side of the bridge. So this is apparently
how do you
where,
even get to that?
I don't know.
What?
It's like you already have to risk your life to do it, to get to that.
Yeah.
At one point, starting in late July, five people jumped to their death from the bridge in a span of a couple of weeks. Four of them were under the age of 30. There have been 74 deaths since 2013 and hundreds of interventions where Port Authority of New York and New Jersey police have stopped people from jumping. Interesting. That's a big step up from that small, tiny sign on the Tobin, which actually I don't even think is there anymore because of the construction. It's like, don't jump, call.
but it's sort of like, as long as that construction's going on, like, nobody's going to try and jump off of there because some construction worker's going to be like, hey, you can't do that. This is a work zone.
Well, that's actually why they redid the Four River Bridge that connects Quincy to Weymouth, is that for years, that's what someone asked me the other day. I was like, this has been happening since I was in high school. South Shore Homies, it's finally open. Get excited. But for years, there was this guy who stood there and picketed to have it rebuilt because his son was drunk driving. It was raining, and the bridge was so ill-equipped that he went over the side, like, not on purpose. And this guy just petitioned every day for a year.
Yeah, so the permanent fence is going to be 11 feet high. So we have a temporary one now, 11-foot. High fence will be
a truly
installed.
Determined jumper will find
I would
a way
say
over
so
there.
Only NBA basketball players can kill themselves
yeah,
that
no,
way.
No, believe me, people find their way over that. if you really want to do it, you're going to find your way over
bring
the fence.
A ladder,
or they'll just go jump off a different bridge.
Fair. My turn or your turn?
Your turn.
Jimmy Kimmel
accused a senator of lying to his face. I'm trying to remember which senator is his local senator, because
it's not a local senator.
It's not his local senator. I forget which senator it is, but boy, is that guy unhappy about the state of health care legislation.
Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
There you go, yeah.
Yes, he railed against a new Republican plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. This time calling Bill Cassidy a liar for claiming he supported a healthcare bill that guaranteed coverage for all families. So this is Jimmy Kimmel. They started this whole rapport because Kimmel's son had an emergency heart procedure that he could only afford because he's Jimmy Kimmel. And this Bill Cassidy, who's a Republican from Louisiana, has been saying any type of healthcare. Like, they became friends-ish because he was saying it had to pass the Jimmy Kimmel test.
Yeah, there's no Jimmy Kimmel test. Is anybody getting their politics from Jimmy Kimmel?
No, and if you are, that's, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'd say your average American is, to be perfectly frank.
No, I don't. I think Jimmy Kimmel mentions healthcare, and people are like, "Where's the weed? Am I still high?
I'm good.
Is there beer in the refrigerator?"
Oh, you can say that about, like, I don't know, a bunch of other comedians.
When is he just going to be funny again? Either that, or you're half asleep and you're not paying attention to him. If they didn't rebroadcast it on CNN all day long the next day, nobody would even know he was saying this stuff.
Well, it's, suffice it to say, though, I mean, it wouldn't matter if he hadn't have, like, Bill Cassidy's the one that made this statement about, like, I won't pass any legislation that doesn't pass the Jimmy Kimmel test.
Yeah.
And then the current healthcare bill we have on our plates evidently doesn't, except for Jimmy Kimmel was quoted as saying, this new bill actually does pass the Jimmy Kimmel test, but a different one. With this one, your child with a pre-existing condition will get the care he needs if and only if his father is Jimmy Kimmel. Otherwise, you might be screwed. Essentially saying, totally pompous and ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
But
if it's a narrative,
he's basically being like, you have to be a late night host to be able to afford taking care of your child, which is, I mean, oh, don't even get me started.
Just stick to comedy and not.
Yeah. Make the jokey jokes.
Plenty of comedians are insightful, smart, politically minded human beings.
That's fine. But that's not why we're tuned in. It's the same thing. It's the same thing in the NFL,
isn't it? Though
it's different if you write comedy for your show compared to something that is on late night television that you're constantly just involving different. Yeah, you can make a joke about Trump or whatnot. That's fine. But now you're bringing in this whole thing with talking about Obamacare
But why not use the if you're smart,
then use your platform. Use your platform, not on the show.
But what better place to use your platform than on a nationally televised show?
Because there are things that we're coming to you for, and things that we're not coming to you for. For example,
I'm coming for entertainment.
Well, then watch reruns of the Tom Green Show if you just want absurd comedy.
I am not walking into Kentucky Fried Chicken hoping to get a great fish dinner, because that's not what they do. I'm going in there to get mediocre fried chicken because that's what they do. That's what
I have tuned
to that for.
Think about people like Dana Gould and Norm Macdonald, who...
If it's your act, that's fine.
It's different.
Jimmy Kimmel has been telling dick jokes for 20 years, and now all of a sudden...
But he's been telling dick jokes so he can create a platform for himself that will make it possible for him to actually use the intelligence that he has.
Spend your time when you're not on your show, if you want to say...
His spare time? Hey, he has a show every night. What spare time?
He has created a platform where he can tell dick jokes, okay? He's not George Carlin. He's not Bill Maher. He's not Dennis Miller. He's not some genius taking time away from being a genius to tell us jokes. He's a guy that tells dick jokes, who's now trying to segue. Still tells dick jokes all day
still
long.
Still tells dick jokes, but told... It's a means to an end. That doesn't mean
it's not
entire...
a means to an end. That's where your generation gets it wrong.
No, don't talk about my generation. I am a comedian. This has nothing to do with anything.
You're in a box.
I'm not in a box.
And Jimmy Kimmel's box is dick jokes.
Jimmy Kimmel's box is not dick jokes. Jimmy Kimmel's means to an end is dick jokes.
No.
There are plenty
Jimmy
of people...
Jimmy Kimmel's box is dick jokes.
Think about how many people who... leaned into the stereotype, this is going to make me famous and then I can do whatever I want, ends up comedy.
Yes, and then you go do it. But the reason why Jimmy Kimmel got his show is because he's entertaining. He tells whatever types of jokes and he's good at interviewing people. You're good at what you do. We're going to give you a show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we'll call it a day. Whatever you do on your spare time, when you're on the off season, when you're in the summer, when you're in the daytime, you want to talk, you want to do a little like 5-second note at the end. Hey, check out my website that I'm doing this promotion. Then yes, absolutely. But for 1 hour, please just give me entertainment.
Why
of entertaining?
But it's still entertaining. Why wouldn't you use a platform that you've speak for yourself?
It's
I found it very entertaining. why not use the platform that you've been provided to expand those horizons instead of trying to go through some
because
other app?
Because your contract says this is what you do.
Do you think anyone on that network is mad at him for that? I don't.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna conduct a survey.
If anything, we're talking about him on the radio right now.
I'm going to survey.
If anything, they are thrilled.
I'm going to survey 10,000 Americans who watch Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm going to say, why do you tune into Jimmy Kimmel? Is it A, dick jokes? B, Jimmy Kimmel's deep
Again,
political
that
insight.
Doesn't matter.
C, Nickelback is tonight's musical guest.
It's about
which one of those three things? You know who's going to pick B? Nobody.
It's not that you tune into it for that. That's the point that both of you are missing.
Which is why he should
it's
stop.
It's not that you point. It's not that you. It's not that you tune into it for that. It's that being a comedian in general is just. Yes, you make funny jokes and you make the dick jokes and you make the as an avenue to get people to listen to what you deeply have to say.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but the people who don't think that are not in comedy for the right reasons.
Jimmy Kimmel is not one of those guys. Jimmy Kimmel is pure.
Did you guys have coffee last week?
Jimmy Kimmel is Catskills. Now, I've watched this guy. I've seen this guy's been on TV for 20 years.
Yes, but
I remember when he was on MTV.
Means to an end that everyone else
no,
has.
No, the guy is out to make money. He's like Ryan Seacrest. He's there to make money. That's like, why he's there.
But that doesn't
it's
mean.
It's like when an actress that doesn't has built mean, her career though in Playboy and getting naked and doing sexy things and then tries to do a serious thing. You're not meant to do that. We don't want to see you do that.
Very occasionally somebody can cross over and
yes,
do it.
That can happen.
It's hard.
My point is that is what he is trying. He did this as a means to an end, as a means to get a late night show, as a means to be a famous comedian. And now this very intelligent dude, no matter what either of you say, is trying to use that thing that he managed to pull out of nothing to do something with the intellect that
there
he
wasn't
has.
A single ounce
to have the people who pick up what he's putting down, which are the people who watch his show, whether it's hilarious or not. They just like, that's the thing about being a comedian. It doesn't matter if your jokes are funny 1,000% of the time. It matters if someone's picking up what you're putting down.
Here's my thing. I sit down in the chair. I get my tickets early. I go to Jimmy Kimmel. And then he starts going on a political rant. I sit there regardless of what my, political stance is. I say, eye roll. And I'm angry because I want you to tell me funny jokes. You can throw some political stuff in there, but I don't want you to talk about the fight you're having about Obamacare.
There wasn't an ounce. Other than what was mandated by the Disney Corporation, there wasn't an ounce of political or social consciousness coming out of Jimmy Kimmel before he brought up his son's operation on the air and talked about health care. And that turned into this big viral hit where suddenly everybody's like, Jimmy Kimmel's talking about health care. So now he has to get on that because it's ratings.
And he's relevant.
And that's the problem. It's completely transparent. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't give a crap about whether some steel worker in Pennsylvania or some farmer in Iowa has health care. He cares about people tuning into his show.
You had coffee with him last week.
I have watched this guy's career for 20 years. I don't need to sit down with him to know what he's all about any more than I need to sit down with Howard Stern to know what he does, or George Clooney to know what he does. Some people earn it. Some people earn it.
And Steve, you're saying Jimmy Kimmel hasn't?
Steve Martin earned it. George Carlin earned it. Marr earned it. Jimmy Kimmel has earned the right to tell dick jokes. That's what he's earned. Nothing else.
But again,
dick jokes.
That is, number one, both of your opinion, evidently. And number two...
Well, we're 2-1 in here.
This is from... Yeah, that happens a lot.
And
doesn't mean
you,
I'm standing down.
If you look at how Americans react to celebrities talking about politics, Lisa and I are on the side of the majority with this one.
I'm not talking about celebrities talking about politics.
Yes, you are. You're talking about Jimmy Kimmel, who is a celebrity talking about politics.
Okay, he is a celebrity talking about politics, but... My point at its core is that he is an intelligent man and he's making a good point. And while the three of us actually read various news sources and things like that, A lot of his viewers are not, and they're watching him because they like his personality and respect the point of view that he presents.
Is it? I mean, are which the ratings is, that high?
Which is why, regardless of whether you find merit in what he's saying, it still stands to reason that if this is people's only source of information, why not use the platform to put forward? And it'd be one thing if he was saying something ridiculous and insane. He's not. He's referencing the fact that a congressman has been using his name to put forth political ideals and to get his ratings up, and then completely went against what he said he was going to do. I don't think it's unfair for Jimmy Kimmel to use the platform he has to inform people who aren't watching the news, who aren't reading five different news sources to get it, to say, hey, this dum-dum said he was going to do one thing to me using my name and then didn't do it. That's not absurd. I'm not saying that we should look to Jimmy Kimmel before we look to Bill Maher. I'm saying that given he used the platform that he has to spread to his audience things they may not know otherwise.
Jimmy Kimmel trusted a congressman, which tells you all you need to know about whether or not you should listen to his views on politics.
Oh, now you're just grasping at straws.
I'm not grasping at straws. I'm
oh, you know those Emmys that were a couple days ago? Yeah, ratings down.
Yeah.
Why? A lot of political talk. Oh, sports. You know, when everybody's kneeling. Oh, they're falling a little bit. Could it be because people don't want to see
Stephen? Look, as soon as you put Stephen Colbert on the air, half of America is like, no, I don't want that. We're I'm not good. Watching. There's a football game on tonight. There's a Ken Burns documentary on tonight.
I honestly didn't even know they were on.
Yeah. There's football on, you know, and it's it wasn't a good game. Could have been a good game, but it was not a good game. Rocket Man.
Rocket Man is
Trump.
Which, yeah, we'll go yeah. into. That is what President Trump called Kim Jong-un
yeah.
during the address to the United Nations Assembly. In the, I have the exact quote.
We don't need it because we may
Rocket
or may
Man
not
is
get
on
to
a
that.
Suicide mission.
Yes, Rocket. I love that.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that Trump really does better than anybody else on the planet.
You know? Say ridiculous things.
Yes. He comes up with great nicknames. Like Chris Berman wishes he was that good at coming up with nicknames. Because Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un is pretty darn good.
All right, last one. Alzheimer's.
What was the question?
Alzheimer's.
What was the question?
Mm-hmm. Funny.
I may have read something about it this week. I honestly don't remember.
Not to me.
No, I saw something about Alzheimer's. It's bad. You don't want it.
No, well, researchers have created an artificial intelligence program that can detect signs of Alzheimer's up to 10 years before symptoms develop. This was created by a University of Bari in Italy team. Computer system scans a brain for tiny structural changes that indicates early stages of the disease. So this is far more advanced from anything that we had before. It was fed, this AI was fed 38 MRI scans from 29 healthy patients, website says, to learn common patterns of neurological activity and symptoms of the disease. It scanned all of them, and it had a success rate of 86%, which is interesting. So, I mean, this is just another one of those, you know, Shay bringing up the skin for artificial limbs. This is just an applaud, again, to the medical industry and the technology that's coming out of that and advancements.
That skin's not going to have artificial intelligence, is it? Because it may decide it doesn't like being on me and then just wander off somewhere.
Wait, what are we talking about?
The skin? It's not going to decide, like, it doesn't want to be on me and just wander off somewhere and be like, no, I want to go be on somebody else.
Wait, where are
There's too much artificial intelligence in everything. It really is.
I was trying to rip off your joke. You missed it.
Yeah.
I thought we were done.
No.
Oh. Well, in that case, fraternity.
Where?
Louisiana State Fraternity.
This is the one, I believe, where there will be no charges after a student died because he fell down and hit his head But it wasn't necessarily related to hazing. It wasn't necessarily related to fighting. It wasn't necessarily related to anything. It's a tragic accident. Either that or this is the one that had its charter revoked for rampant sexual assault.
It's the second one.
It's the second one. It is the sexual assault fraternity.
Yes.
Yeah, they had an outstanding number of charges leveled against them. Pretty much any woman that went anywhere near this place could look forward to being manhandled.
Being rapetasticized.
There was actually a story that came out yesterday. An alumni board of Cornell University fraternity decided to close the school's chapter indefinitely after a student was accused of beating a black man and calling him a racial epithet.
We can guess what that word
is. Yeah. Not a good look, guys. And not that fraternities ever gave a good look, but yeah.
Yeah, tolerance has run out. All right, the last one, Juggalo.
Juggalo parade?
You bring
demonstration.
It wasn't a parade. Demonstration is closer to the truth.
Okay, demonstration.
Yes, the Juggalo March took place in Washington, D.C.
Juggalo March, that's the word I was looking for.
This past weekend, Juggalos, for those who don't know, are fans of the band Insane Clown Posse.
And dressed like insane clowns.
Violent D and Shaggy themselves turned up to address the crowd, which was great. Apparently, truckloads of free Faygo and pizza were given out to everybody. And as you would expect, a very large number of people showed up wearing clown makeup because they are, in fact, Juggalos. They did have, you've got to go see the photographs that came out of this of, you know, Juggalos near our national landmarks. And Juggalos.
I'm looking at them right now.
In Washington, D.C. The Juggalos said that they are opposed to President Trump, but they are not opposed to Trump's supporters. The Juggalos are sort of all-inclusive.
I would say that's what I like about the Juggalos. They're a very inclusive community.
They're upset because the FBI named them a hybrid gang. And because you have that hybrid gang designation, if people find out that you're a Juggalo, you can't get a job, you can't get medical care, you can't get social services, you can't get all kinds of things.
They're just dudes wearing masks.
There is some issue in the Pacific Northwest with Juggalos committing a lot of crimes and behaving in a gang-like manner. Which may not apply to Juggalos all over the country. One of my favorites is their Faygo Not Fascism sign. There were a lot of those hanging around. Along with, because they're anti-fa, but they're not black bloc anti-fa. I think my favorite, though, was the gentleman with the handmade sign that said, "The FBI listens to Nickelback." That's...
I'm Nickelback.
It's about as cruel as it gets right there. The FBI listens to Nickelback.
Yeah. I would say that perhaps is the biggest insult you could pay somebody.
We listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire here on WMFO Medford. And when we come back, when we come back, Donald Trump spoke to the United Nations. And yeah, it's pretty much what you'd expect from Donald Trump talking to the United Nations. So we'll get into that a little bit. Coming up next here on WMFO Medford.
Chasing soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. Please lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
WFO Medford, this is The Big Picture with Chase Blaine, Derek Arian. I am Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 9. And you can call the show at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-9636. We had another speech, another big, big blockbuster speech from our President Trump.
Huge. Yes,
it was a
huge.
It was huge. It was described by somebody as a, quote, 42-minute tweet storm. End quote.
Yeah, may I just say, if you want entertainment, do yourself a favor today or tonight and look at the commentary that's coming out of both the right and the left, because you have very different interpretations of how this speech went. Yeah. Left is condemning it, and of course the right is applauding it and saying
that's
this was
the president we elected.
Yeah, the best speech ever. So on Tuesday, President Trump gave a speech at the United Nations in which he roundly rejected President Obama's foreign policy. Foreign policy, big, big, big topic. Huge. Slamming Iran, North Korea, Venezuela in particular. He also created some pretty spectacular headline fodder. As I said, Derek brought up one, Rocket Man in front of an international audience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he wasn't saying these things to himself in the mirror. And we'll go into many, many of these things.
Don't worry too much about Rocket Man, though, because the U.S. would, quote, totally destroy North Korea if forced to defend itself or its allies. So that's one thing Rocket Man.
To put it in context, here's the actual line. There's actually a couple of them here. No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals. No, I'm not going to do it. No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. And here he's taking a shot at China and saying, come on, guys, stop giving them the money. And he just spent two paragraphs talking about that as well. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Let's see how they do. So if you listen to the left, the quote is, he said we're going to destroy North Korea to the United Nations.
Fingers on the button.
This is unprecedented. These are people, by the way, these are uncreative, uneducated people who don't recall Nikita Khrushchev banging his shoe on the podium as he threatened the nuclear annihilation of the United States back during the Cold War, okay? These people have no history, no context, no sense of what's going on here.
Hey.
Is that not, did people not take one line out of an entire speech and say, Donald Trump threatened to destroy North Korea in front of the United Nations. No, Donald Trump said, we will do that if we have to.
Oh, yes, but I'm just saying, don't lump people into, I'm on the left, and don't lump people into a certain...
Your spokespeople. Let's bring it down to your spokespeople are saying a lot of things that aren't true about this speech. Maybe not you, maybe not everyone on the left, but your spokespeople in the media.
Well, which is if you just speak the truth about the speech, it's insane and absurd without contextualizing or picking and choosing.
Oh, absolutely not.
Which anecdotes we like.
The thing that rubs me the wrong way about it is it's very much a campaign speech, mm-hmm. which is not what you do with the United Nations.
Yeah, he's pledged to stop radical Islamic terrorism.
Hey, that's cute.
You know what?
Props to Trump, who actually said it. I pledge
to own a Bentley by the end of the year. I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it, even though everyone else wants a Bentley would like that too. I'm just going to say that I'm going to get a Bentley and then
fact that the United States is doing things. I mean, look at in our former administration, we had President Obama, as we have been doing for years. Oh, have we? Have we? How many times has had President
George
Obama
W. Bush
said?
Get reelected? I mean, it was for the Pledge to stop radical Islamic terrorism.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right here, and I'm going to tell you when you have a moment at home to, I think this was on History Channel. I think it was on History Channel. Might have been Nat Geo about a week ago. Watch a documentary called Hell on Earth, which talks about the rise of ISIS and very firmly lays the blame for it at the feet of the United States of mm-hmm. America. And in particular,
how many times have you sat in the back seat doing nothing?
Barack Obama
did nothing.
And these are United States generals. These are CIA. These are global leaders all saying the United States is responsible for this.
We let ISIS move into so many countries.
But we've been doing that with so many different. No, we've been doing that for years. We helped.
Tell me, please tell me what administration flew banners, flew postcards outside of a plane down to the ISIS and saying, hey, we're coming tomorrow to bomb you.
Yeah.
Watch out.
We were friends with Russia during World War II. I could name
the fact that ISIS has grown exponentially.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't want to stop radical Islamic terrorism. I'm saying that is adorable.
It's adorable because a lot of the blame is for the last administration. We sat back and did nothing.
Oh my
that's fact.
God, that's
actual
insane.
Fact. And the one thing in this speech that I thought was really important, the fact that you had Trump not apologizing for America's past, which every single speech Obama has done, and he laid out, may I say,
because Obama was handed a crap pile. That's what I feel like all conservatives forget.
And Trump wasn't?
No, Trump was handed a smaller crap pile.
Crap pile.
That Obama...
It is on record.
...made
every
smaller.
Single political... commentator has said this is going to be so hard for anybody.
No, we shouldn't stop radical Islamic terrorism. Jesus. I'm saying that it's so... Every part of the speech on Monday was, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and this about radical Islamic terrorism, and this about North Korea, and let me get you started on Venezuela and Iran.
Were you completely deaf during all of these speeches from Obama?
Absolutely nothing about what he was actually going to do about it.
I know.
Nor has he done anything.
So for the past 8 years, you've had cotton balls in your ears and listening to
Obama.
Obama did stuff. That's the thing.
What?
Please tell me. Please tell me about his foreign policy and where it has got this country.
He was a little bit busy handling the crash of our economy the year I graduated from college.
Remember the red line in the
Obamacare
sand?
Obamacare. Yeah.
Chemical weapons will be a red line in the sand?
Keep pushing it.
Oh,
no.
My God, you're exhausted.
The position of the United States in the past 8 years has gone down so drastically, it's disgusting.
The fact that our current president, at the height of his popularity, has a 38%
one at a time.
Approval.
One at a time. We're not CNN. We don't talk over each other. One at a time.
We've had Russia move into a world power. The United States has taken a seat back. We are not on the forefront of any of this.
Maybe it's because we have a president with a 38%.
This has been the reality of the past 8 years.
That's got nothing to do with it.
No. I'm just saying that it's indicative of the fact that he talks big talk.
Here's what Donald Trump did yesterday, and here's what you missed. Donald Trump walked in the United Nations and said, listen.
Actually, he walked in. He didn't have to say anything. He could have just held up two middle fingers, because that's essentially what he did.
Listen, I'm going to blow up everything. I am going to blow up everything. I'm going to blow up ISIS. I'm going to blow up North Korea. I'm going to blow up China. I'm going to blow up everything. Unless you do your job and give me a reason not to. That's what this speech was. This is no longer the kind, gentle United States of America. Oh, we want to get along with everybody. We want to work with everybody. I'm coming in to tell you, I will blow everything up unless you give me a reason not to. That's what he said.
That's adorable, but by
that's leadership, by the way.
Okay,
that's leadership.
That's leadership.
That's staking out a position.
We are one of, I don't know, 200 some odd countries, almost 200 in the UN. That wasn't saying do what we want or we'll blow you up. That was inviting people to blow us up.
No, it's not.
Do you know how many? I lived in Europe. Do you know how many people there hate us? All of them. All of them hate us. I had
who
to
cares?
Crawl
in
out.
Every country.
Who cares?
Knows
who cares?
That
I don't know. Everyone
with bombs.
We're going to destroy every country. And then the US will be the only one left despite having, I don't know, oceans and tides and winds on either side.
I want to see anybody from the European Union try to do something on the United States. I want to see a majority of anybody from Asia trying to do something to the United States.
Let's set that aside for a second. No, I don't want to invite that kind of.
No.
But
what I'm saying,
I want to go back to another point.
He specifically said America first.
Yes.
America first.
Yes.
Which, yeah, it should be America first, but not in the way that he's implying, which is do what we want or screw you.
That's not what he's saying.
That's literally the way that you just described it. Do what we want or we're going to bomb the crap out of everybody.
Donald Trump specifically in the speech said the opposite. He said, we have no interest in nation building. We have no right to tell other countries what to do. He said, the world is stronger when every individual country is looking out for its own people and has its own sovereignty.
But he used the word sovereignty 21 times.
But he also said that in defense of America's.
Did he just learn that? Was it on like.
In defense of our own sovereignty.
Vocabulary, toilet paper, or something like that?
In defense of our own sovereignty, we're going to blow up anybody that threatens us unless you guys do your job. That was the speech.
That is everything that everyone hates about us. That's what
I. Who cares?
Who cares?
Do you want to be Europe? Do you want to be a failed collection of socialist states that can't keep its people employed?
In America, we do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example for everyone to watch.
Because
do you know how pompous and ridiculous a statement that is to make? To the United Nations.
But if
say
Obama
that,
had
no,
said
no.
that.
Say that when you're trying to get reelected, when you're doing a rally in Kansas.
Do you know
Don't
how many...
That. That's the thing is, if Obama had said that, Obama would never say that.
Do you know how many United States presidents
because
have said that?
Because he knows how to behave like a president.
All of them except Obama.
That's not true.
Except Obama. Yes, it is.
That is not true. They did not say, we're not trying to impose our way of life.
No, but what America...
for everyone to watch.
All said that we are a shining beacon for freedom and justice and liberty and an example
for the
world.
And what the United States has always been is been a world leader. We have been that...
Have we? Because nobody wants to follow us.
Everyone hates us
and now has a really ironclad reason to.
I don't care if everyone hates us.
You don't care if everyone hates us?
No.
Okay, so you must have a protective bomb shields that you haven't been sharing with us.
Because you know what we have at the end of the day? We have all the money and we have all the bombs.
Do we?
And the only countries that we really need to worry about liking us are Russia and China. Because they're the only countries on this planet that could threaten us.
They're also the only ones that have us wrapped around their little finger.
Yes, but why? Because our relations with foreign policy have decreased in the past administration for the past 8 years.
You're seriously going to blame this on Obama?
Please let me speak. For the past 8 years, it has declined. That we've had Russia move into a major world power. Yep. We've let China control the trade system in this world. Essentially, they do.
Russia and China have and the United always States been has sat world back. Powers.
They and have.
No, Obama, they haven't. No, they haven't. States,
Obama was handling things domestically.
No.
You don't.
It was America's
tackle an
job.
Entire football team by yourself.
And it's,
you see the one that's coming at you first, and then you tackle him. And then once you tackle him, you go on to the next guy.
So
you
what,
don't try to.
So what happened with Obama's great pivot to Russia? Remember that, the pivot to Russia? What happened with that? Oh, Crimea got invaded, and we didn't do anything about it. We slapped sanctions on some wealthy oligarchs because that's great foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying Obama was perfect. I'm saying that he addressed... When he got elected was when I graduated from college. He was handed one of the worst domestic United States situations that a president has been handed since the Great Depression. Maybe worse, actually. And he did what he could with a bad situation. No, he didn't make our country magically perfect overnight, but he did what more than what anyone could have expected of someone in his position.
He also sat by and let ISIS happen.
He let ISIS happen.
Yes, he did.
He just turned a blind eye.
He did.
Come on, be realistic with yourself.
I would suggest, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you again, Hell on Earth, Discovery Channel or History, whichever one it's on, just start with that. Because that's just
okay,
the first
step. Okay, because a documentary
step.
On a television channel is going to change my worldview based on reading millions and millions and millions of things.
That's
in
the first step in educating yourself beyond your Facebook feed. 855-915-9636.
That was a mean way to end.
It is The Big Picture. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Remember how you love me. Time was all we had. Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO, you are listening to The Big Picture on 91.5 FM Somerville. Sorry, Medford. This is Shay Spillane. With me, as always, are Lisa Nichols and Derek Gary. And now is one of our favorite times in the program where we talk about what's hot, which is our favorite things that happen either this week or beyond. For me, I want to tell everybody that tonight knocks off the first night of the Boston Comedy Festival. Yes, and it's going to be lasting through the week in Somerville and around Somerville. There are hundreds of comedians both in the competition and doing satellite shows all over. It's both local comics and really national household names, like people you've seen on TV. You should absolutely check it out if you're in the area. If you want more info or you'd like to get tickets, go to bostoncomedyfest.com. Get it. It's going to be great.
Don't let the name fool you. It's in Somerville. And I think the Somerville Theater is sort of
like... The Somerville Theater is like the main epicenter, but then there are satellite shows all over the Somerville, Cambridge. I was going to say, that's why I said Somerville instead of Medford when I did the call sign. Sorry. 91.5 WMFO Medford. I had Somerville on the brain. But yes, it's based around Somerville, but there are, you know, Cambridge, Boston, Charlestown. There are lots of different satellite shows. You can get all the information at bostoncomedyfest.com, and we've got like some super awesome national acts as well as just the best comics from all over the country competing for 10 grand.
Where's everybody drinking afterward? The Burren or the Joshua Tree?
Probably the Burren.
Okay.
That's usually the... I was going to say, so if you guys want to see me tonight in the flesh, I will be at the Burren later.
Yeah. And if you want to go like meet comics that you've seen on TV and watch them
like you could see like
get destroyed.
Oh yeah.
Big go hang at the Burren.
Tonight. Yeah. Like you could see like Todd Barry, Judah Friedlander, all of them. Judah Friedlander is actually on tonight, so there's a decent chance you could see him and his greasy goodness.
The famous Tom Dustin.
At the Burren.
Well, I mean, that's course, the main reason you would go to the comedy festival.
The Brattle Theater has always got cool stuff going on. Halloween is coming early this year because beginning on, I think it's the Friday, September 29th, a week from Friday, they are doing a festival. It's going to run through October 5th. Called Mario Bava and the Birth of the Italian Giallo. Now, anybody who's listened to me for any length of time knows I love Italian horror films. They are the best.
You talk about them pretty frequently.
There's
such an obscure topic.
There's usually no plot that you can follow. There is just unbelievably cinematic style and lots of blood and guts. So, everything that you want in a horror movie. But they've got some in here that are really, really significant ones. On September 30th, they're going to be showing A Bay of Blood. That is the film that Friday the 13th, the entire series, was based on. The first two Friday the 13th movies actually lifted a lot of the murder sequences from Bay of Blood.
Oh, we're always stealing things from other countries.
Also on September 30th and October 1st, The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. It's Dario Argento's first film and one of his most stylish. Very good film. And then midweek, October 4th and 5th, some of the sexier, racier Giallo films. Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key, Don't Torture a Duckling, and the infamous What Have You Done to Solange, all on the big screen. Some of these are going to be 35 millimeter prints. You never get to see these things in the theater. So if you are curious, if you are a fan, get on over to the Brattle next week. Get tickets early. Because these are the kind of things that sell out, and then you're sad that you don't get to go.
The Brattle's always doing awesome stuff like that. I went to the Jim Henson Festival there and saw like commercials from when TV first came out that
these are
he directed and
everything
you know,
that they've
Muppetized.
Got. It's brattlefilm.org, by the way. Everything that they've got, these are all hugely influential, seminal Italian horror films that didn't just move the horror genre forward. They moved filmmaking forward. A lot of cinematographers cribbed off of these guys. So, great chance to see some amazing films.
All right, more things for you to watch. I've been completely hooked on it, so I'm bringing it up today because yesterday was the last episode. It's a 6-part series on A&E, so they're all available on demand right now. Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson, murder case. It is phenomenal, and it brings in so many parts that were not brought up in mainstream media. And it's interesting because we're in media, and we talk on the show and report on things. And it's an interesting dynamic because the series focuses a lot on that and how it grew. Not just only because it was, you know, a white couple from the suburbs, good looking, about how media failed to give all of the information, that how it affected the jury, and so on. And it's incredibly fascinating. You can maybe change your mind on what you previously thought. I still think he did it, but
did they ever?
Yeah, I was gonna say
law, he could have been off.
Did they ever find those guys in the van?
No.
Are those the same guys that killed Nicole Brown Simpson?
I don't know.
You know, a lot of unsolved murders in Los Angeles with very obvious suspects. I don't know how,
it's so interesting.
But I can remember at the time when that trial was going on, there were a number of legal experts saying that the California justice system, and Los Angeles County in particular, is so bad that this guy might walk. Because O.J. had walked, and Peter Falk had walked, and all these other people were just walking.
It had, you know, such an impact from media, because these jurors were not isolated.
Yeah.
They saw what happened. The minute one juror was taken off, they saw all the death threats going to these people and knowing what could possibly happen on the other side of the court. So definitely check it out. A&E on demand, 6 episodes. They're an hour long.
All over that.
It's awesome. Look.
We end the show every week with That's the Thing That Happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Police are searching for a woman who has been seen repeatedly defecating in a neighborhood while running.
I heard about this one.
Kathy Buddy says her children saw a woman mid-squat and came running back to the house to tell her. Quote, they are like, there's a lady taking a poop. So I come outside and I'm like, are you serious? Buddy said to the runner, are you really taking a poop in front of my kids? She's like, yeah, sorry. But he said the runner is doing it in the neighborhood at least once a week for the last 7 weeks. So they nicknamed her the Mad Pooper. Quote, two other times we've caught her yesterday. She changed up a little time, but then she knew I was watching. Now the Colorado Springs Police Department are involved and say that the runner could face charges of indecent exposure and public defecation. Quote, it's abnormal. It's not something I've seen in my career. For someone to repeatedly do such a thing, it's uncharted territory for me. According to the Buddy family, there have been plenty of restrooms less than a block away where the woman has been running, so it's to believe this has been intentional. If you have any information or identity on the runner, please call the local Colorado Spring Police Department at 719-444-7240. You never know. We might have Colorado Springs listeners.
Please help end the tyranny of the Mad Pooper.
This is streamed online. I mean, you never know. A deaf man carrying a metal pipe was fatally shot by Oklahoma City police last night as neighbors frantically tried to tell officers that he couldn't hear their commands because he was deaf. Magdale Sanchez, 35, was shot and tasered on a porch last night around 8:15 p.m. local time after he allegedly advanced towards officers following a hit-and-run committed by his father. The encounter unfolded after witnesses called police to report the hit-and-run and said the driver, Sanchez's father, had fled the scene and driven to the residence. Sanchez was not in the car at the time of the hit-and-run and had no criminal history. But upon arriving to the house, police saw Sanchez on the porch holding a 2-foot-long metal pipe that his neighbor later told people he carried to fend off stray dogs when he went for walks at night. The police perceived the pipe as a weapon and called for backup. When they asked him to drop the weapon and get to the ground, he advanced towards them, which is when witnesses started screaming that he couldn't hear them. He said the police then deployed the taser and another officer fired a gun when Sanchez had got about 15 feet from them. Both struck him and he was pronounced dead at the scene despite medical attention. Sanchez's father, who was not named, confirmed to police that his son was deaf. And the officers who shot and tasered him did not have body cameras on. And the chief of the Oklahoma City Police said he did not know why they didn't respond to neighbors saying that Sanchez was dead.
Nerf bullets. I'm going to say it again. Nerf bullets.
Nerf bullets all day.
First 2 years on the force, you get Nerf bullets. Louisiana. Rex and Elizabeth Jernigan are facing obscenity charges. The married couple, who consider themselves amateur pornographers, got busted after Elizabeth was filmed performing oral sex on Rex in the periodical section of a public library. That led police to their Pornhub page, where they found videos of Elizabeth exposing herself and masturbating in a local mall, a Walmart, and a Burger King.
Yes.
Reacting to the arrest, Rex Jernigan posted a message on Pornhub saying, quote, "To all my friends and followers, the wife and I just recently bailed out of jail for our public videos we posted on Pornhub. Hopefully soon we'll get to post a new video."
Pornhub, there's a category for everything.
The unrepentant married pornographers in Louisiana will be back soon. Don't you worry.
God bless America.
It's a great time to be in this country.
Oh, it is.
It really is. That is all the time that we have for this week. On Tell Mikey D is coming your way next with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. That's been verified. There are people here. It's everything you need to know. Not some. Everything. Boston Comedy Festival is going on now through Sunday, right?
Yes. I believe like the end bash is Sunday. The finals are on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's right up the street from here in Davis Square. Go check that out.
Yeah, go check it out. And there are still tickets available for pretty much everything. And it's just straight up a good time.
Yeah, if you like comedy even in the slightest bit, no matter what kind of comedy it is, you will find a